I love bread. I can do without sweets, but boy, it's hard to do without bread. I like sandwiches and toast and bagels and muffins and scones and all that kind of stuff. It seems I do notice there are a lot of people, more people now, that have gluten allergies. Kind of wonder why so much of this is the case. Maybe it's because we've altered our food or, you know, what we've done to the environment. But bread is one of the oldest prepared foods. It's considered a staple food. A person can survive a long time on just bread and water. Bread is such a basic food item that it's become synonymous for food in general. This morning, as we are celebrating the second Sunday of Advent, we lit the Bethlehem candle. The word Bethlehem means house of bread. And today we'll celebrate communion, where we take bread, remembering Jesus' body given for us. So this morning I want to look at Jesus' statement in John 6:35, where he says, "I am the bread of life." This saying heads the list of what is referred to as the I am statements recorded in the Gospel of John. Jesus there gives seven declarations about himself. He says, "I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I am the gate for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the way and the truth and the life. I am the true vine." These are statements of Jesus' divinity, deity, expressed in metaphor, providing these wonderful pictures of who he is. The metaphor of Jesus as the bread of life is very appropriate as we begin this Christmas season. S. Johnson recalls this: "I passed through the masses of icons, silver lanterns, and trinkets before descending the stairs into a sea of people crowded into the small cave. Heat and noise mingled in the heavy, stale air. People jostled for position, nudging, seeking to see the silver star that marked the place where they say Jesus was born. People kissed the walls. Others walked through, merely curious. One woman knelt, kissed the floor, and then began sobbing. Uncomfortable with the sudden exposure to a stranger's soul, I looked away. By straining, I caught a glimpse of the star embedded in the rock floor. Then I eagerly sought the way out that would take me from the place. I had seen what I came to see, but not felt what I hoped to feel. Disheartened, I hurried out of the cave, into one of the churches built over it. Few tarried there, and I found in the courtyard a more amiable spot than the one below, freed from the sights and sounds and press. I sank into a chair as cold jolts of disappointment intensified in me. How could this be the place of the Savior's nativity? For years I had imagined and pondered, and I wanted the place to elicit special feelings, but it didn't. In an attempt to push away the disappointment, I let my mind wander over what I had learned of the event of Bethlehem that I had come to love. Bethlehem, the name means house of bread. Whether or not the cave below me was the actual stable of Christ's birth, this was the town. Christ, the bread of life, was born in the house of bread and placed in a manger. As a child, I thought manger was a synonym for crib. I remembered my surprise at learning that a manger is a box made to hold food for animals, a feeding trough. Now, as I sat in Bethlehem, I imagined a manger filled with oats that beasts of burden hungrily devoured. They, like me, would eat and in a few hours want more. No matter how nutritious earthly fare is, it is never enough. The next day, even the next hour, the stomach growls for more. In my mind's eye, I saw hands brushing away the last few oats. The same hand filled the manger with fresh straw and placed the babe in the feeding trough. Words leaped to my mind from John 6:35. "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry. He who puts his trust in me will never be thirsty." And in John 6:58, "I am this bread that came down from heaven. It's not like the bread that your earthly fathers ate and they died. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. The heavenly fare offered in the manger was not only eternal, but capable of lifting us to God. How fitting that Mary should cradle her son, the bread of life, in a manger. Now let me read to you more from the passage in John's Gospel. So this is John 6, verses 27 to 35. Do not work for food that does not last. Work for food that lasts forever. The Son of Man will give you that kind of food. God the Father has shown he will do this. Then the people said to him, "What are the works God wants us to do?" Jesus said to them, "This is the work of God, that you put your trust in the one he has sent." They said to him, "Can you show us some powerful work? Then we can see it and believe you. What will you do? Our earthly fathers ate bread that came from heaven in the desert. This happened as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to the people, "For sure I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread all the time." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry. He who puts his trust in me will never be thirsty." And then Jesus goes on to say in verses 46 to 51, "No one has seen the Father. I am the only one who has seen him. For sure I tell you, he who puts his trust in me has life that lasts forever. I am the bread of life. Your earthly fathers ate bread that came from heaven in the desert. They died, but this is the bread that comes down from heaven. The one who eats it never dies. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. The bread which I give is my flesh. I will give this for the life of the world." The setting for this text is just after Jesus fed the 5,000. The crowd was hungry. They needed food. And as Jesus had done so many times before, he responded to their needs. In the Lord's Prayer, when Jesus teaches us how to pray, one of the lines is, "Give us this day our daily bread." There are things that we need for survival. And if those needs go unmet, for example, if hunger is ignored, then seeking any deeper need often collapses. This is why Jesus makes sure that the crowd is fed. And this is where we need to enter into the needs of those around us. Caring for those needs is like offering bread. As Dave mentioned, a group met this morning to look at how we can respond to the refugee crisis. Last week we heard what's going on through our partnership through the International Justice Mission. And we have an opportunity today to take a card from the tree that's behind me and purchase a gift for the refugees that have come through the houses next door with Journey Home Community, a way to help offer bread in a tangible way. But we are not to just stop there. Jesus tells the crowds that their efforts should be focused not just on the loaves and the fish, but on the greater food that lasts forever. Jesus goes to the heart of the matter, to the source from which all these vital aspects of life flow. Belief in the one sent by God. Without this faith, none of these activities benefit us. All our actions and plans are dependent on the most important action, union with God in Christ by the Spirit. Ultimately, it's not a matter of us working for God, but a matter of God living his life and doing his work through us as we trust him. The full force of what Jesus is saying in this passage comes alive if we keep in mind the background. Jesus is at this time in the Capernaum synagogue, and it's Passover. And at this time, the Jewish community would have been studying the scriptures pertaining to the departure from Egypt and the flight into the desert. In the wilderness, the Israelites had been fed with manna, bread from heaven. And Jesus reminds us that the source of the manna was not Moses, but it was God. And as you look at the story of the manna being given, it goes beyond bread. It's a spiritual metaphor for how God feeds us through his word. In Deuteronomy 8:3 we read, "He humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." It's not bread, but by the word of God that life is given. It is God who sends bread. It's God who sent his son, Jesus, coming down to earth. A baby born of flesh and blood. And it's in him that we find life. As Jesus speaks to the crowd, he brings to them a deeper meaning of the bread motif. The bread that reminded them of manna is now disclosed as Jesus himself. Jesus has been sent by God. The Father is giving the true bread from heaven. This bread is a person, one who has come down from heaven, a person who gives life to the world. And this bread is to be consumed. At the Last Supper, Jesus says, "This is my body, which is given for you." This gift of bread, this flesh, comes as sacrifice, offering his life for us. We are hungry, and God has responded to our hunger in the gift of his Son. He's the bread of life that descends, bread that will be given in sacrifice, bread that is to be consumed. The question often asked is, how can I find bread that lasts forever? How can I discover God in a way that will not diminish before my next meal? The answer is, we find this in Jesus. But it seems sometimes that we can get caught up in so many other things. Even good religious forms that are developed to try to help us, these even can leave us feeling empty and weary. I want to read you the story of a woman named Brenda, as shared by Gary Burge. Gary writes, "When Brenda entered my office, I had no idea that she would stay for an hour and bare her soul. Before she was born, her father was converted in part through the writings of Francis Schaeffer. He went to Dallas Seminary in the 70s, but found himself to be at odds with the school because midway through his MDiv program, he began speaking in tongues. He was permitted to graduate only if he did not make this experience well known. The family migrated to charismatic communities and finally settled in the Assemblies of God. Brenda grew up on evangelistic sermons and had an open display of charismatic gifts. But the family also missed the rigor of Schaeffer's intellectualism that had been reinforced at Dallas. They migrated back to the mainstream of evangelicalism and reached a spiritual cul-de-sac. Cavalier criticisms of their secret charismatic spiritual history were heard regularly. Evangelistic hymns and hard-hitting, soul-winning sermons replaced prophecy and healings. Despair and cynicism settled over the family like a damp fog. Today, her father rarely goes to church. Brenda wept when she told me that now, as a young woman, all of it seemed hollow to her. The sermons, the Bible, the Lord's Supper, all of it. She desired to be fed by God, but her deepest fear was that nothing could reach her heart. Nothing could penetrate her cynicism. She had seen it all. She'd watched Christian leaders with their bravado using their own style of religion to defeat their competitors in the Christian marketplace of ideas. She had watched the healers, the revival preachers, the moral majority, and almost every other religious configuration. Now she was tired. She simply wanted to be with God, to find out if there was any way to be fed once more, to see if there was any new dance that she had not already seen. She was hungry, but had reached that level of despair in which a person doubts the existence of food. 2 weeks later, Brenda entered a nearby monastery as a temporary guest. She returned radiant and transformed. In the silence and simplicity and beauty of that place, Brenda's soul was restored. Priests and sisters who had walked the road of faith far longer than Brenda spoke to her gently about their discoveries of knowing God, and they loved her. The clutter of her religious history began to dissipate. She began to hear God's voice, speaking words of affection and assurance. She realized how many religious habits she had acquired when she only needed a pure and pristine walk with Jesus. He was the bread of life. It's not some denomination that holds the key. It's getting back to the basics. Being fed by God is so simple, but in a world congested with busyness, it can become hard to understand. Being fed by God involves a discovery that God is eager to give life and renewal to anyone who comes and listens in simplicity. Burge writes this statement: "The spiritual life is not simply a life of confession and obedience, but a life of encounter. Our task is simply to receive, to engage, to be open to the work of the Spirit as He permits us a glimpse into realities that really are too deep for us." At Christmas, I think it's especially a time when we can be so busy. We can fill our lives with so many things, longing for some special feeling, like that person visiting Bethlehem. Our dilemma is we have a desire that we cannot fulfill, no matter what we do. And this is where Jesus comes in. It's He and He alone that can fill the desires of our heart. Christ, the one born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, came to satisfy our spiritual hunger. Jesus as the bread of life is a phenomenal statement. Jesus is saying He is essential for life. This Christmas, may we look beyond all the trappings, to be open to the perspective that it's not one of a daily preoccupation and looking for material needs, but searching for a different kind of food. It's the hunger for life, the hunger for eternity that only He can satisfy, because He is the bread of life. Let's pray. Jesus, we acknowledge that we are hungry and we are in need of You, and do see that You alone are the one that satisfies. We can so easily get distracted and search to fill our spiritual longings in so many different ways, ways that don't satisfy. You are the bread of life. You are essential. Thank You for coming to earth for us, for bringing life to this world. And in this Advent season, Lord, help us to be still. Help us to wait for You. May we search for and welcome You into our lives this Christmas, feasting on You. In Your name, Jesus. Amen.